Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson. So it was a brilliant story. Apparently, I verified that it's not 100% sure that it actually happened, but it's. But he said it's over. There was mayor of New York, LaGuardia. Is the airport is named after it, right? So he was in a. He went. It's a He went to court. He was a mayor of New York in the early 1940s, late 1930s. Apparently, he was the only mayor that was elected three times as a mayor of New York. So he went to the court. He said he told the judge to go, and he's going to preside over the case, which I don't know what the legal implication of that is, but that's what he did anyway. So there was an old lady, and she was brought to court because she stole a loaf of bread. And he asked, did you see this? She says, yes. He said, what's the story? He said, yes, I'm a widow of my own. I've got a daughter, she's divorced, and she's got two children, my grandchildren. They're hungry. There was no bread at home, there's nothing to eat at home. So I said, I'm going to steal. So I went to the shop. Shoplifted, took a loaf of bread, and that's what I'm giving my grandchildren, they shouldn't starve to death. And it was true. It was very hard. They were hungry. It was a slum. It was in the outskirts, out in the suburbs of New York. It was a poor area. It was definitely true. So he went to look at the accuser, and it was the person from the shop owner. And he said, it's 100% true. He said, it might be the case, but listen, this is a difficult situation. It's difficult for everybody. If you're not going to judge her, that she's, if you're going to compassion on her, then everybody else is going to start stealing. Everybody's hungry. It's a difficult situation for everybody. She admitted she's done a crime. This is not a Marxist, socialist kind of, she admitted the crime she's done. She has to pay for it. Justice is justice. So Mayor LaGuardia apparently did a very wise thing. So he took his hand and he banged on the thing. He said she's sentenced to $10. Now $10 was the fortune all days. So alternatively, if you don't have $10, it's 10 days in prison. Every day is $1. One day per dollar. 10 days in prison or $10. Because that's what you stole in there, and that's the case. But as he said this, he took out from his wallet, took a $10 note, and he gave it to her from his own pocket. So on the one hand, you have to make sure that justice is justice. And she's stolen, she has to pay for it. On the other hand, if you could have compassion with the person as well, so I'm going to give it $10. The story doesn't finish there. The goyness apparently was, so he says, that after that, he said, besides that, he's also sentencing everybody in the courthouse of 50 cents to pay towards. And everybody in the courthouse, was a lot of people there, had to pay 50 cents towards the lady. And they all took with that, he was a mayor, you know, they had an authority, and they knew he was a person with tzichel, and a person with compassion, a person with das. So he was a Jew, apparently. So he had 50 cents. They collected just under $50 on that, which was pretty much, they collected in a hat, they took 50, but 50, that was close to $50, which lasted for many months. And he said that this is for the following reason. He said, you live in a city that people have to steal to survive. And that is a complaint. That's a taina on the city. That's a taina on you. And why does it come to situations just to steal for a loaf of bread to survive? He said, you must be doing this community must be doing something wrong. Hence, I feel it's only right they pay 50 cents towards her. They gave him a round of applause, a massive round of applause, and even the shopkeeper gave 50 cents towards it. So it says, right. I think it's a good story. Okay, we started B'siyat Lishmai, the halachas of Shulas is Melocha Be'erev Pesach. We discussed page 152, Simon Tom Samen Ches. We learned that it's an Issa to the Melocha after Chatzos, and we differentiated between Melochas, which are Melochas, which Shulchan Aruch calls a more serious Melochas, and then there's Melochas Kalois, which you defined as, what was it again? Skilled and non-skilled, and the non-skilled ones are permitted. Examples were given and discussed. Siv Gimel now goes on to the other part of the day. Everything we discussed so far was Erev Pesach after Chatzos. Again, after Chatzos is a time where the Korban Pesach is brought. It's a bit Yom Tov tick. There's a festive atmosphere more than a regular Erev Yom Tov. Erev Pesach is more Yom Tov tick, and hence there's an Issa Melacha as discussed. Before Chatzos, it's a bit different. Now we're going to be discussing what happens before Chatzos, which is more lenient. And here is the halachas. Koidim Chatzos, before midday. Mokim shenagu la'asos melacha oisin. Simon, tov samachesiv gimel. Koidim Chatzos, mokim shenagu la'asos melacha. Places which have the custom to do melachas. Oisin, you may do so. However, Markim Shenagu, Shalola Sois, but places which have the custom not to do Melachos, ain't Oisin you don't do. So it depends on the Minik Amokim, depends on the custom of the place. The Ramah finishes saying, Ledidon, according in our places, in our Minik is, Markim Shenagu, Shalola Sois, places which the minig is not to do makom shenagu shelola asos, pletidon makom shenagu shelola asos. In our areas, the minig is not to do melachas. So says the Rama. For dafka melachas gemuros, but he differentiates himself and he says this is dafka melachas gemuros. That's only skilled melachas. Aval sham melachos, but when it comes to other melachos, afilu minage leke, there is not even a minig. So here comes the interesting halacha. Before Chatzos, that already is not pure halacha. Unlike after Chatzos. When it's before Chatzos, it depends on the minik. Some Yidden have accepted on themselves, some communities have accepted on themselves not to do melachas. And some communities didn't accept upon themselves. Now, the halacha is depending on that. If you live in a place where the custom is not to do melachas, you must adhere to it. If you're in a place that there's no such place, then by all means, Gesundheit, do your melachas. The Ramah says that our places in the Ashkenazic countries didn't accept such a minhag. Additionally, the Ramah adds that this is only with regards to melachas gemuros, but even those Yidden who refrain from doing melachas before Chatzos, that's only about the skilled melachas, but the light melachas will be permitted anyway. Right, now in order to fully understand this, we've got a Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot New Dalet. Yudalef. Shloi la'asois. Hainu, shloi la'asois, you don't do melachas. Hainu min neitzach hama velemala, from neitzach hama on. Ve'kol alai lemuta, and certainly the night will be permitted anyway. Ve'afilu and even, b'neim, ve'afilu b'neim achreim atzoif kol adoirois. This custom, once accepted, is also not only on themselves, but it also goes on their own children. There's even future generations. They're not allowed to do melachas, mishum, because the pasuk says, "Halti toish Torah simecha." Do not go away from the Torah, from the Mesorah, from the customs imech of your mother. Ve'afilu haTorah in moil b'zeh, and you cannot even do mataneda. You have to follow the minhag amokim to refrain from doing melachas. Now, the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot Yud Beis, velidon ein belevush lushan achroinim she'en zem muskim, it's not accepted, it's not true. Ramah says that the minhag is not to do melachas. Mishnah Berurah disagrees. And he said, not true. Ki yesh haba mekoymos, there's many places, shenoyagim la'asos ad chatzos, that the minhag is to do even melachas until chatzos, v'al kenin, therefore, tolu kolechol if you minhag and mekoymoy, and everybody depends on the minhag of the places. Rabbi said, what do you think is the minhag here in England? Is there a minhag to refrain from working on Erev Pesach morning? No. I also don't think so. I think that people go to work and they do work, right? I don't think. Do you think? Are you aware of any? I think that. So it's interesting. The Ramot says the minhag is to refrain. But I think that generally, what do you think? No, people go to work on Erev Pesach. I mean, people might take off, but not just because it's busy, not because they refrain. I don't know.
Are you talking about in the country or in a locality, though? You could have England, but you could have certain localities which might.
Yeah, so I was referring more like to London, the accepted minhag in London. I think people will refrain from that. Well, people won't.
It's very difficult in general to say there's any minhag in London. There's so many communities in London, and all the different things.
Edgeware,
Communities are
different. Yeah. Are you aware of any communities that are particularly Macbeth and will... I think that generally people...
In Ernst Strong, there seems to be... In Ernst Strong, there seems to be a bit more...
Yeah, so it's interesting. I saw even discussion about that.
Yeah.
And even when it comes to the Yerushalayim, even there, the poskim that mentioned that there's a minhag to refrain, they say that perhaps might be only in the old Yerushalayim, in the old areas, but not in the more modern shchunot, which have been built and established over the last 50 years. So they say that it could be that even if there is a minhag in Yerushalayim, it doesn't affect the outer areas. Either way, I feel that it's to generally establish that there is such a minhag. I think it's hard to find such a place. All right, okay. So halacha lemaaseh, but that again that only goes until chatzos midday. There's a halacha to refrain from doing malachas. Now here comes the question. Going back to the before chatzos, where is a minhag question? Ha'oilech mimakom says sivdalet bottom line of page 152. Ha'oilech somebody who goes memakom from a place she'oisin a place he goes from a place, he lives in a place where there is a minhag. There's a minhag that the people do malachas. They don't refrain. Lemakom and he goes to a place she'oisin that you don't do malachas. Lo yase beyishuv b'pnei machloikes. He shall refrain from doing malachas. So if a person goes, let's say in Yerushalayim, let's go with Reb Yossel, let's say in Yerushalayim, there's a minhag to refrain. Let's say. People don't do malachas before chatzos in Yerushalayim. So say somebody goes from Edgeware to Yerushalayim over Yom Tov. Now his own minhag is, Edgeware minhag, you do malachas on Erev Pesach, but he happens to be for Yom Tov there. What's the halacha? Does he stick to his own minhag, which is to do malachas, or once he's there for Yom Tov, he sticks to the minhag amokim from there, and he refrains from doing malachas? What's the halacha? Minhag amokim. Pardon? In Rome, do like the Romans, yes. Lo yase b'yishuv b'nei machloikes. If it's a settled area, he should refrain from doing malachas. Like, indeed, like the minhag amokim. Aval oisu b'mitbar. But if he's going to the desert, he actually doesn't want the hustle and bustle of Yerushalayim HaKodesh. He rather goes to the Bedouins in the desert. And he prefers to make his own Yom Tov there, where there's not many people around. And the desert, where there's not many people around. So there, the halacha is, aval oisu b'mitbar, if he goes to a non-settled area there, he may stick to his own minhag and do malachas. Why so? Why? Why in the desert? Yeah, that's right. It doesn't affect anybody. Now, what about the vice versa, the other scenario? What happens if a person goes to a place? If a person goes to from a place where they don't do malachas, such as Yerushalayim, lemakim she'oisin, he goes to Edgeware, lo yase, should not do. V'noisnim alav chumre mokim she'otzim v'shom v'chumre mokim she'olach l'shom. Person has always the chumres, the stringencies from the place where he comes from and the place where he's going to. V'afal pikein, nevertheless, lo yisro mifneihem, he should not show and publicly do the chumras in front of them. If he comes from Yerushalayim and his own personal minhag really is to refrain from doing malachas and he's coming to Edgeware for Yom Tov, he shouldn't openly, publicly show that he refrains from doing malachas. Because there's a prohibition, there's an issa of show of being different. Ayeshane Adam, do not change because of machloikas. Don't do different than the people. Don't show different minhagim. V'chein and similarly, mishadai to lachzal mekoymoi. Somebody who returns back to his own place can noy kanshe mekoymoi ben haker belahachmir. V'ushalo yisrael mipnei anshe mokum shu mipnei machloikas. The person should never do different. That he shouldn't show that he's doing machloikas. So this Siv Dalet over here is really talking about the case he's discussing is the case of doing malachas on Erev Pesach before Chatzos. But the principle behind this is the same sugya then. Where else do we find this? Purim is a bit different actually. the posim in the Mukofim is a bit different.
Second day
Yom Tov. It's that very sugya. And it actually affects all the other areas, in many other areas of Halacha, about Minhagim. Yes, it's a very good question. You're asking the following question: say, how can it be that there's minyanim in Eretz Yisrael of second day? Surely this should be a problem of leshanim odom p'tam machloikus. Is that what you're saying? What are you saying? So therefore, what would you suggest? What should they do?
Well, the problem is they've got to take on the chumrah of where they came from as well. So they do need to keep second day.
Yeah, right. So that's that. They should keep second day. So the question, can I just rephrase your question? So the fact that they need to daven, Yom Tov davening in Eretz Yisrael, that we can hear. Because they've got to do that. They've got to do the chumras from where they come from. Yeah. But what is the question? If they're davening, they should probably...
What should they do then?
The way I understood your question, they should daven bet sinin. They should daven at home. They've got a daven.
That's what Bnei Yisrael do when they come here. So
yeah.
Isn't that also
they should be. They should.
But the fact that they're
not part of it,
yeah.
It's mamish that shayla.
It's kind of like the tefillin or not tefillin.
But I think
it is a bit. So the truth is, I have a problem to compare that, but the achronim they do compare that.
Groups, when you've got groups and groups, the whole tefillin falls away. It's only if there's a yachid.
Yes.
In a group. If
good.
Groups and groups, the thing falls away, right?
Right. You're saying that since you're saying what achronim say, but I want to just say that we've got to appreciate the chiddush in it, because really it's a very big chiddush. Really, you would say, strictly speaking, you would say, if they come from a place, then Gesundheit, they should keep their chumras, but they should keep it privately. Well, why are you doing publicly? You should do this privately. Do it at home. What's the difference if there's 100 people or 200 people doing that? You should do it privately.
There's so many different minhagim in Yerushalayim already.
Yet.
One argument
is very much, you could say that nowadays there's so many minhagim. So therefore, people do so many. Yeah. So what the achronim are
no one minhag which is shaylet.
Everyone knows it's not one day.
Sorry.
And as far as keeping one day,
you're one day in Eretz Yisrael.
Everyone is shaylet. There's no minhag to keep 2 days. You can have people who come from here.
No, not to keep days. No minhag to keep 1 day.
See, the point that you are addressing is correct. That the Maaser, the Achronim say, the Shlomo Zalman, Rav Yashiv, many of you quoted that there is a minhag in Yerushalayim to be matir a second day minhag. There is such a minhag that for minyan that minhag was always accepted as an established thing. You can do a minyan on the second day Yom Tov. I know that there are people who don't like that svar so much, and they say mechtes such a minhag. But I know that many poskim were matir based on that svar, that there's a minhag to allow making a second day. Now, you're mentioning the tefillin on Chol HaMoed. What are you saying exactly? That what? You're talking about in Eretz Yisrael here?
Well, I'm saying, certainly in London, maybe in some of the US shuls, you could say that there's one minhag for the shul, and if you like in Kenton or somewhere where there's just the one shul, and it's a US shul, and everyone wears tefillin, then you can't really get away with not wearing tefillin. But something like Kliyaka, for example, then there is no one
uniform minhag.
So people do what they do, and it's not really an issue. So I kind of feel like in Yerushalayim, which is really the hub of so many different communities throughout, it's just very difficult to say that if you go to, what's it called, Kruger's, whatever it is, up on...
Saltskin.
Yeah, then you go to...
Nusuf Svar.
Right, and then you've got Nusuf Ashkenaz in...
Right.
And how can one daven Nusuf Svar? How can you have the Prussian and have the Litvak?
Yeah. Now, in Eretz Yisrael, it's a bit different, but I agree with regards to England. Putting on tefillin Chol HaMoed is such a 50-50 kind of situation that many people... feel that there is not many rabbonim. I remember I asked once Rav, I personally put on tefillin, and asked once Rav. It depends. Yes, so I asked once Rav a shul. I approached once Rav and I said, "Listen, what's the minhag over here?" I was a bocha, and asked him I asked him, "What's the minhag? You know, if I put on tefillin, but if the minion is more inclined that you don't put on tefillin, so I'll daven in Etzas Noshim. On Chol HaMoed. He told me, he said, the minhag in this shul is that we don't have a kapodas. We don't make a machloikis. That's what he said. But Lemaisa, I want to say that whilst it's a very nice vote, it needs a lot of halachic achrais to be able to pass on such a thing, because you're eradicating a Shulchan Aruch, you're eradicating a Gemara, and perhaps even a Mishnah. Because Lemaisa, it's clear that this is, what you're saying is that this particular place, we don't have a minhag, that itself, it's a big chiddush to say such a thing. I think it's a very big chiddush. Now when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, things are even more complex because for some reason, the poskim feel that it's connected, putting on tefillin is connected with keeping 2 days. I don't know where that comes from, but most poskim hold that if you keep 1 day Yom Tov, you shouldn't put on tefillin. Because the Messiah of the Vilna Gaon was not to put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So therefore they believe that the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael, the Pushim, a lot of people who pets and put on tefillin, in Eretz Yisrael they refrain from putting on tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So there is more argument. So there's an additional svar that perhaps one should do a bit sinner. Yes, but his Talmidim were the first. His Talmidim moved to the first Aliyah, as they call it.
Did you ask for
them? Yes, I believe so.
Oh. But they seem to follow the Gaon.
Yes, so that's the Minhag HaPurshim, the Minhag of the Gaon, and Talmidim certainly established the first initial Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael based on the fact that they don't put on tefillin. It's hard to verify that because it might have to do with the fact that the initial Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael was a Sephardish Yishuv. It's a bit hard. I didn't have it clear when I looked into it. B'shai Tov. But Lemaisa, the minhag in Eretz Yisrael is not to put on tefillin, even if that particular Masur of that particular family is to put on tefillin in Chutz La'aretz. Right. So this is over here with regards to erev Pesach before Chatzos, a person should stick to the minhag amokim, and as well as he should not change. If he should not change it, but he should also not publicly do things differently. And this touches on another concept, really, which is contradicting, but just as important. And he should not show that he's doing things different than the Oilem. It means that even if your minhag is not to do melachas, if you arrive in a place where the minhag is to do melachas, and you are a yid that doesn't do melachos because that's your own personal minhag, and you're going to return to your own initial minhag, you're going to go back to your initial place, you should not refrain publicly from doing melachos because that's going to cause machloikas. Alishane odom pria machloikas. Lo yisoy bifneim. Don't do something publicly which is a different minhag than the oilem. So it just shows. I think it's one of those places that it shows as it teaches us the importance of sticking to the of doing it. You know, there was I remember hearing that Moshe Soloveitchik zechon levracha. Moshe Soloveitchik was one of the very very great tzaddikim in Zurich. It was probably Zurich was zeichet to have one exceptional tzaddik, a unique personality, Moshe Soloveitchik. And I was too young to appreciate it, but I remember that my rebbe in school told me. Now, the Moshe Soloveitchik, he would often invited to simchas, but often he wouldn't attend. He would often not go to simchas, and the reason for that was because he would never go. He had a lot of chumras when he came to the meat, when he came to the wine. He was a Soloveitchik. He had a lot of brisket chumras, and he would often not. He wouldn't feel comfortable eating certain things that everybody else was fine to eat. So you wouldn't want to go to a simcha and eat that particular heksha. He wouldn't feel. So the question was: would you come? We don't mind. You come and don't eat. And come and that he refused to do. He said he's not going to go to a simcha and not eat. That he wouldn't accept. He said I'd rather not come than come and not eat. Because of this Shulchan Aruch over here, you don't go to a place and publicly change from the minhag of that particular place. How can you, just like you can't go to a mokum that the minhag is to do melachas and you publicly refrain from doing melachas, that very concept he applied, is he wouldn't go to a simcha and refrain from eating in that simcha because you don't do things different than the people, you just don't do it. You don't do it. And that's really the limit that comes from that. One person should not stick out from the crowd. Everybody would have understood. Anyway, it's got chumas, etc. But nevertheless. Okay, Abba, so we learned this evening was the concept of the concept of the melachas before Chatzos on Erev Pesach. Whilst after Chatzos, there's halachas. Before Chatzos, it's a minik. Some have the minik to refrain, some have the minik to do melachas. The Ramah says the minig is to refrain. The Mishnah disagrees, and he says there's no, the minig is he has to do melachas before chatzos. Even if a person has a minig to refrain from doing melachas, it is only with regards to melachas gemuras, but unskilled melachas are certainly permitted. Then we continued and learned the concept of a person who goes to a place which is a different minig from where it comes from, and the yesod, the concept is you have to stick to both chumras. At the same time, a person should also make sure that he doesn't stick out from the crowd and not do publicly things different than where he currently is. And also, as the Mishnah Berurah points out, this is only if he has got intention of returning. If he intends to settle there, then he has got the same minhagim as that particular place where he's landed. Okay. Good afternoon. Good evening.